know, it's hard to. We really can't relate to what's going on over there. You know, these Christians getting beheaded and killed. And can you just imagine a church that met for 2,000 years every Sunday, and then fear stops them. They're afraid. And it makes me mad that my brothers and sisters are going through that. And so, it's why we do what we do. We're going to continue our series. We're in part 3 of getting through what you're going through. We're looking at the different stages that you go through when you go through a major loss. We said there were 6 stages: shock and sorrow and struggle, surrender, sanctification, and then service. We started last week with shock. Today is sorrow. How to get through life's losses. And I want to share some things with you that I've learned and some going through losses, and some things that I've learned from other teachers in books that I've read and in God's Word and what He says about grief. And I want to start with 5 things, what it says about grief, and then I want to give you some steps to move forward. And unfortunately, you're going to need this message sometime. You might not right now, but I encourage you to take notes. And I'll try to get through it as fast as I can, but I don't want to miss anything either. I know we got a lot going on. We've got another baptism. A young man told me today that he had accepted Christ, and he's going to be baptized after the service. Gavin Karpalki. And so I'm saying his name a couple of times because I'll probably say it wrong or forget it up there. We had 2 baptisms this morning. And, it's pretty neat. Well, first thing that I've learned is this. Number one, loss is unavoidable, but grief is a choice. Loss is unavoidable. It's going to happen. But grief is a choice. You and I, we have to choose to grieve. It just doesn't come automatic. Because lots of folks choose not to. You know, they just stuff it, or they just deny it, you know, and they try to go through all these losses of life and never, ever grieving it. And guys, that's a big mistake. I've told you before, I have a thing that I go, there is no change. There is no life without change, and there is no change without loss, and there is no loss without pain. But grief is a choice. It's a choice. We're going to go through pain. You know, you and I, we're losing things in life all the time. That's just the way it is. You know, and no one likes to lose things. But grief is a choice. You have to choose to let grief in. You have to allow yourself to be able to grieve. And hopefully I can explain it today because grief is important and essential to your spiritual growth. And grief doesn't just happen at funerals. Grief doesn't just happen at the loss of loved ones. We have thousands of losses in our lives. It might be you lost a job or lost a friend, they had to move away, or you lost finances, you lost your health. I was thinking about that. You know, I'm 53 and I don't move like I used to. I can't run. It's quite comical probably to see me run. But I used to be smooth. But I've lost a lot of that. And there are many things in life that you ought to grieve. Many things. Just some losses that we face. But we won't lots of times because grief is just unpleasant. It's just unpleasant. Most people just try to avoid it. Would you agree with me? But trying to avoid it is kind of the root of a lot of people's problems. They've never grieved. Unresolved, unmourned grief. It might have been something that happened to you as a child at school or on the playground. And you should have grieved over that, but you haven't. And it's still there. And it will be if you don't grieve over it. And guess what happens if you don't grieve over it? You're stuck there. You get stuck at the age of 15 or 10 or 9 or 8 because you haven't grieved what happened to you at that time. So grief is absolutely essential to your life. Secondly, the second thing I've learned is this. Grief is healthy. Grief is healthy. It's the only healthy response when you have a loss. It really is. A loss could be anything. Like I said, a job, a career, a relationship, a limb. You know, whatever. Grief is good for you. It's unhealthy to deny a loss. And grief is without a doubt the most painful emotion that we go through in life. But it's also probably the most helpful. Well, how is grief helpful? Well, grief is God's way and his tool of getting you through this transition of loss and back to living, back to life. Grief helps us not to get stuck in the losses. Because, guys, if you get stuck in the losses, you're going to wind up with anxieties, phobias, some kind of fears, low self-esteem. I'm telling you, grief is good. Would you agree with me that Jesus never sinned? Would you agree with me that he probably never did nothing unhealthy? Jesus grieved. Look at John 11, 33, 36. When Jesus saw Lazarus' sister sobbing and saw how all those with he were crying also, his heart was touched. And he was deeply moved. Then Jesus started crying. See how much he loved Lazarus, they said. I'm going to tell you something. In the King James, I wish I'd put the King James. It says Jesus wept. That's the shortest verse in the Bible. It was one of the first ones I ever learned. But I think every church you go to, they always discuss that in the kids' programs. This is the shortest verse. So everybody knows Jesus wept is the shortest verse. I believe there's a reason for that. Jesus wanted us to know that it's okay, that it's good, it's healthy to grieve. There's one thing about sadness. I want to tell you, sadness, for you guys, sadness is not a weakness. You know, actually, weak men are afraid of showing their emotions. Would y'all agree with me on that? Weak men are afraid of showing their emotions. But weakness and sadness are not really the same thing. I believe any lady will tell you that the more confident a man is, the less afraid they are to show their emotions. A confident man, a strong man, can show his emotions. Now, there's a couple of unhealthy reactions I want to talk to you about just real quick, because I'm just going to tell you what they are, because we've talked about them before, and I won't revisit them today. But the first one is repression. Repression is unconsciously trying to block out painful thoughts. Just unconsciously trying to block them out. And then suppression is consciously trying to block out painful thoughts. Which is saying, intentionally saying, I'm not going to think about that hurt or that pain. I'm just not going to do it. I'm a man. I ain't going to do it. Well, that's a mistake. And you won't grow. You'll stay stuck right there in that pain. Here's something you can write down. Men, ladies, everything. If I don't let it out in healthy ways, I'm going to act it out in unhealthy ways. Y'all get that? I'm going to say that one more time. If I don't let it out in healthy ways, I'm going to act it out in unhealthy ways. I see this all the time in adults. you know, addicted to bad behavior because they've never grieved over maybe an alcoholic dad or an unloving mother or are experiencing prejudice or mistreatment on the playground. And they're stuck there. Guys, when you swallow your grief, your body rejects it. Your body rejects it. Grief is healthy. A lot of our physical pain is caused because we take emotions in and then keep them bottled up. God never intended them to be bottled up. Let them out. Let them out. The third thing I've learned is this. God grieves with me. God grieves with me. In fact, our whole ability, yours, mine, our whole ability to grieve comes from God. God is emotional. And we are created in His image. God gets sad. He is an emotional God. Our ability to grieve is what makes us different from animals. I mean, cows don't grieve. And when we don't grieve, we actually deny the very thing that makes us a human being. Is our ability to grieve. We're created in the image of God. And the Bible tells us that God actually grieves with us, that He suffers with us. I'm telling you, God's not standing on the sideline. Look at Psalm 34:18. And I love this verse. It's a good one to keep. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. He's close. If you're brokenhearted, He's close. Crushed in spirit, He's there. He's right there with you. Then I learned number four. Grief is healed in community. Now I struggle with this one. Grief is healed in community. I'm telling you guys, what I found out is you're not going to get well on your own. You're not going to get well on your own. It's better together. God hates loneliness. He made us to be in community. Remember the big verse I believe we ought to really go by, love God, love one another. We're created to be together. Whether you're married or not is irrelevant. You need people in your life. Galatians 6:2 says this, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. We fulfill His law when we help each other with our pains. Romans 12:15. When others are happy, be happy with them. If they're sad, share their sorrow. Share their happiness, share their pain. Grief is healed in community. I tell you, nothing hardly makes me happier than when somebody walks in my office and I know that they close the door, I know they're about to tell me something. They're about to tell me something they've been hurt by. They're about to tell me something they're about to tell me something that they've been dragging around for a long time. Because you know why I get happy about it? Because revealing is the beginning of healing. They've been toting it around all this time and they're hurting. But I want to give you a little tip, really, before we go too much further. Just a kind of a practical tip is when you're comforting someone, comparing never helps. And what I mean by that is this. Well, I know what it's like, Stacy. I lost a son too. I know what it's like. No, you don't. Everyone's grief is different. Everyone's grief is different. You know, everyone's grief over their mom or dad is different because relationships are different. And so don't compare. Compare doesn't comfort. Anytime you compare your pain to somebody else's, it doesn't help anybody. So just don't do it. Just don't do it. Number five, the fifth thing I learned is grief takes time. And it's not quickly. Grief has its own time, and you can't rush it. And grief takes different ways too. I was sitting here thinking about that. I looked at my daughter when her grandmother died. I didn't know that she was doing it, and I don't know how. But Angie, look, she wore Cheryl's flip-flops for several years. She was grieving. Grief takes different ways. But she'd wear those shoes, and I said, "Where'd she get them?" Angie said, "They're mom's." And that was her way of grieving. Guys, you got to grieve. You'll never get over these major losses in your life, but you will get through. You will get through because it's part of your life story. So don't try to get over it. It's you. You know, just get through it. And grief takes time. Ecclesiastes. I've been hearing Ecclesiastes a lot, and I'm really liking it. There's a time for everything. A season for every activity under heaven. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. Life is composed of opposites. A time to weep and a time to laugh. What that tells me is, hey, you're going to have some good days and you're going to have some bad days. Both are a legitimate part of life. But maturity is when you can enter into both of them. When you can only party and you can't grieve, you're missing half your life. You really are. Grieve, when you can grieve, you can grow spiritually. But grief is a season. It's a season. It's more than just one day or a week. It could be years. But it's a season. Especially when we lose someone. You know, for me, I used to, as I would want to fix it. You know, I didn't really want to grieve. I wanted to fix it. I wanted to go out, and I said, I'll go to work. I'll just go to work. I go to work, and I get off my mind. I didn't want to grieve. You know, they'd tell me at work, what are you doing here today? I thought you'd take some time to grieve. Yeah, I'm all right. Grief takes time. Don't immediately try to fix it. Stop. And you know what? I love that she's crying. Because I'm going to tell you something. I want to tell you something. Y'all hear that baby crying? I'm sure you do. Parents, stop telling your kids not to cry. Stop telling your kids not to cry. Just comfort them. I'm going to tell you, when I learned this, I felt like the worst parent in the world. When I whooped Luke or Sarah, and I whooped them growing up, I whooped them, and then they start crying. I said, stop crying. Stop it now. Or Luke would fall down. You know, he busted his head one time at church, had to have a couple of stitches, and he's over there crying. I said, stop crying. Well, my head's bleeding, and, you know, it's busted wide open. They just slammed me in the car door, and it's hurting right now. Stop crying. Well, I wasn't being very comforting. I wasn't being very compassionate. You know why I wanted them to stop crying? I didn't want to hear the noise. I mean, I'm just being honest. So I said, stop crying. It really helped. They really stopped. But just comfort them. We got to learn to lament. We're going to talk about that in a minute. But we can't get through this pain until we acknowledge it, accept it, and feel it. Then when we can feel it, we can grieve it. But don't ignore it and just deny it and just plunge on ahead. But deal with the losses that we have in life because we're going to have them. Because if you don't deal with them, they're going to come out in some sort of bad behavior or habit. Deal with the grief. That way, it don't come out so ugly. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Now, We have to do what the Bible calls lament. Now, we don't use that word a lot in Adairsville. I doubt you'll hear it down at the Big A Supermarket or Food Line. But lament is to cry out to God. It's to cry out to Him that you choose to grieve. Guys, when we lament, we choose not to get stuck in our pain. Well, how do I move forward? Real quickly, we're going to go through it here. Number one, this is practical stuff, and you may think this is silly, but this is what I did. I need to list the losses that I've never grieved. I need to list the losses that I've never grieved. Go back and take a little inventory of your life. Examine it. Get your legal pad. I love these legal pads here. I just love them. But you need to look at your life. You need to look at it and consider those major losses that you've went through. Whether it was war, whether it was rejection, whether it was something on the playground, whether you lost a loved one, whether you lost a job or even lost a home. Wherever you said, hey, I'm just not going to talk about it. We don't talk about that. I'm just not going to talk about it. I'm going to work. I'm getting out of here. I'm going to carry on with life as usual. Well, guess what? That's where you get stuck. That's where you're still at when you don't grieve it. So start by listing those losses that you've never grieved, because you can't get past it until you acknowledge it. Now, how many of you would like your future to be blessed by God? I'll tell you, I would. Pretty well unanimous. Everybody, nobody in here, I don't think, says, I don't want my future to be blessed by God. I'd just rather not right now. Jesus said that grief is the key to that blessing. Look at Matthew 5:4 at the bottom. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. They will be comforted. Guess what? People that cover up, they don't get comforted. People that deny it, they don't get comforted. So learn to grieve to get God's blessing. This next statement I'm about to make was my Facebook status. I don't know who gets the credit. I read it somewhere. Half the stuff I tell you, I read some. More than half the stuff, I read somewhere. It says this, in your life, all those unmourned losses are still waiting there to be mourned. I like that. In your life, you probably got some unmourned losses still waiting for you to mourn them. So get a legal pad. It's a yellow one works better than any of them. Ink pen, go alone, write them down. Write them down. Well, why don't we do this? Why don't we let ourselves grieve? One word, fear. Fear is why we don't let, we're scaredy cat. Scaredy cat. You don't want to go back because then you might be overwhelmed with an emotion. I'm going to tell you something about these overwhelming emotions. It's not going to kill you. I was telling the 9 o'clock service, it's kind of like a wave. You know how you stand in the ocean? And the waves are coming at you, they hit you every once in a while. But then, every once in a while, a big one comes. And you turn around, and it's like right in your face. And it just overwhelms you, it comes over you. And then when you get through, you just... Y'all ever done that? But it's done. It's that quick. And those emotions may do that to you. It may just... I shake both hairs up here. But it's done. And the wave overwhelms me and I shake it off. And then I get going. So emotions can be overwhelming, but they will not kill you. You will not lose your mind. If you keep it a secret, you won't recover. You won't recover. I'm going to tell you something. you're going to find out that the boogeyman just ain't as big and bad as you thought he was when you start to go through these things. If you're afraid to grieve the losses in your life, you need to claim this, Psalm 23. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Amen. You are with me. He said, I want to walk through. Walking through means you ain't stuck. You ain't stuck in the pain because you've been grieving it. And guys, you can't grow when you're stuck. What I really love is the shadow of death. This word here, this phrase, the shadow of death. See, I used to be afraid of the dark. I've told you all that before. I was afraid of the dark. There you go. Now you know something old on me. But one of the fears that I would have was the shadows. I didn't like the shadows. You know why I didn't like the shadows? Shadows make things look bigger than they really are. And they make things look spooky. You know, but you know what I found out? Ain't nobody ever died from a shadow. Took me a while to get there, but nobody's ever died from a shadow. So it tells me you're not going to die from the valley of the shadow of death. He says, I'm not going to kill you. God is with me. God is with me. And if God is with me and it's not going to kill me, why am I afraid? The Bible has, in do not fear, 365 times. Do you think that's a coincidence? One for every day of the year? Number two, identify what I've really lost. What did I really lose in that playground? What did I really lose in that childhood? What did I really lose when my parents were divorced? What did I really lose having an alcoholic dad? What did I really lose, you know, being laid off? What did I really lose when that loved one died? What did I really lose? Then we can grieve. When you identify what you really lost, then you can grieve. Then the third one, have the courage to lament. Here we're back to lament again. Lament. Like I said, we don't say lament a lot. You know, but it's a kind of action that you and I must do in order to be healthy emotionally and spiritually. Let me give you a definition of lament. And I wished I'd wrote it in your outline. I didn't, but here it is. Lament is this: a passionate expression of grief to God, an act of worship that can include complaining to God. A passionate expression of grief to God, an act of worship that can include complaining to God. You just cry out to God. You shout. You yell. Argue and complaining to God is an act of worship. Yep. It is an act of worship because God can handle your complaints. He can handle your complaints. The Bible is full of laments. What I found out in some of my rants and raves is God isn't afraid of negative emotions. He knows life's tough and that there'll be good days and bad days. There's a whole book in the Bible dedicated to lamenting and complaining. The book of Lamentations. Jeremiah was complaining about the temple. He thought God was wrong. He says, you got it all wrong, God. But God let him have his say. He let him have his say. Guys, I got to tell you, 20 years ago, I complained to God when my daughter died. I told him, I said, you're wrong. This is not right. This ain't right that she should die. I remember kind of like what Rick Warren said. I never doubted his existence, but I doubted God's wisdom at this time. But the difference was I was complaining to God. I wasn't complaining about God. You see, God's okay with our complaints. He's okay with that. He says, talk to me. Then I know, you know I still exist, that I am in charge. God says it's an act of worship. You see me screaming, you crying out to God is an act of worship. There's 65 psalms of lament. I'm not going to read all of them because no way. I'm giving you that as homework. God says it's an act of worship because you talk to God about God. So read these psalms. If you don't read but one, read 88. If you don't read but one, read 88. Next thing is this. Last thing. We're closing up. Ask Jesus to heal the brokenhearted. Did y'all notice that baby stopped crying? I didn't even have to tell you, shut up crying. Telling you that. Bad enough. God heals the brokenhearted. He's understanding. He's understanding. Psalm 103 says this. The Lord is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate to those who honor him. For he understands how weak we are. Just say, God, I'm hurting. I'm in a lot of pain here. That loss, that rejection, you know, that lost deal. You know, I can't find a spouse. You know, I can't have a baby. You know, he's not going to say, stop your crying, Jim. Stop your crying. Because he understands. He said this in his first public sermon. Look at Luke 4:18. God has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. That's what Jesus came to do. You brokenhearted, Jesus came. That was one of the first things he said. I came to heal the brokenhearted. When you, maybe you're walking through that valley of the shadow, and shadows are kind of got you afraid. But what else I discovered about shadows is there has to be a light. And the thing that helped me overcome the fears was I looked toward that light. That's what makes the shadow. And then when I could see the light, I no longer saw the shadows. What I'm telling you all that far is Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And I'm asking, would you accept him today? That simple. Would you accept him as your Lord and Savior today? Now, Gavin, I don't know where you are, but I'm about to pray. This is your time to come right here and get changed. We're going to baptize. Amen? I can't wait. Man, we've had communion, sung, baptized. I don't know if there's another ordinance we need to do. Let's pray. There he is. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you. I thank you this young man is a believer in Jesus Christ. And now he's coming to do something you told us to do. To be baptized in your name. Lord, there may be someone here today that's grieving. Or kind of stuffing it in. They may have thought, man, you know, I never did get over that deal in school. 20 years ago. And I think I need to grieve that if I'm to move on. I'm stuck. Here I am, 35 years old, and I'm stuck in the eighth grade. I pray that they get through that. Or they may have just lost a loved one. So many things are going through that. Lord, I pray that they know that it's okay to grieve. It's actually healthy to grieve. They may have lost a job. And right now they're just curled up in the bed and they don't want to go out, don't want to go looking. I pray that they grieve. That whether they can get through it and life can go on. There'll be bad days and there'll be good days. Your word says that. But you'll be with us in whichever season there is. Lord, we love you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.